Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
God, deliver us from cold religion. Spurgeon said that. He said there's nothing more nauseating to God than a plate of cold religion. It's just that, and of course that's borne out as true in Revelation and chapter 3. Had a good week. A lot of good things happened. God blessed in a lot of ways. Got to go hear Joe Arthur preach on Monday night. Boy, I had a good time there. Okay, I want to tell you a little bit of secret of what happened down there on Monday night. I've been waiting all week to tell you this story. Battle of the Wills. So several people went down with. We went down in a couple different vehicles and got down there. And some of them were husbands and wives, and some of them were not. Some of us were there without our wives, is what I'm trying to say. And some brought their wives, and that was good. But we kind of entered the church. We kind of got separated after we entered the church. And what happened is the ladies went down on this side of the auditorium, and the men went down on this side of the auditorium. And all of us men, we were standing together, good place to sit, probably third, fourth row from the back, from the front. And we slipped in there, and I could see what was going on before I sat down. The wives were over there, and the husbands. Namely, I don't want to name names because I don't want to embarrass people, but Diane Babcock and Janet Cook were over there. And over here were their husbands, and along with a lot of us men that didn't bring our wives, Mike Babcock and Don Cook. And I was ready to sit down, but I could see there was a battle of wills going on. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. The men were over here, and their eyes met. And I'm standing in front of them. I actually watched this whole thing play out, so it was very humorous to me. And I was just saying, oh, we'll see who's wearing the pants in the family now, you know, because the men were standing there like, and the women were over here like, no, we got the seats over here. You come over here. You come over here. And I'm saying, oh, this is going to be interesting to see what happens. Mike Babcock is my hero. Now, I don't know if he had a backbone and was a man just because other men were there. Sometimes that works out. I don't know. But is that what it was, Diane? That is okay. All right. But he just stood there. He stood his ground. There's eye contact going on. You know, Don Cook caved like a lawn chair. He went walking over there, and he goes, oh, excuse me. All these people, excuse me, to get over there by his wife, because his wife, with her eyes, told him so, right? And he gets over there. But Mike stood his ground, and then, you know, Diane being the submissive wife that she is, and Janet probably following suit there. So they came over to our side, the right side of the church. And Don had the gall to say, I just went over there to get them. There's always a battle. There seems to be always a battle of wills. Then the next thing that happened that very night is I saw a great big bloodshot eyeball. I'm not kidding. I turned around and standing right here, it just as close as you can get without touching me, was somebody obviously knew me, and they're standing right there. One great big eye, bloodshot. I remember looking at it, whoa, what in the world is this? And I started to step back, and he spoke at the same time, and it was Joe Arthur. Of course, he loves life. That's the way we ought to be. We all ought to love life. But I'll tell you this, stay out of my personal space. I don't like that at all. Matthew chapter 28, Great Commission, the great mandate to the church. Series of messages, just three messages. This is the middle message. This is message number two. Last Sunday morning, I preached on the first step of the Great Commission, and that is evangelism. Let's stand together as I read God's word. Would you do that? Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted him. Some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, bless this message. Make it potent. Make it clear. Make it as short as you desire it to be. God, just help us to get to it. And Lord, help us to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Some of us have the wrong reason wrong motive for being here and alive on this earth. Some people think they're here to make money. Some people here think to play a game. Some people think they're here to gain popularity and get pats on the back. Some people just want to eat. I kind of relate to that crowd a little bit. That's not what it's about. Truthfully, you boil everything away. It's about souls. Our mandate, the New Testament church has instructions. It has a command from God. It has a mandate from our master. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus gives it to us here in Matthew, one of the places, Matthew in chapter 28. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, go. It's not a casual, bounce your way through life kind of Christianity, sedate kind of Christianity. That is not the way New Testament Christianity is. New Testament Christianity is bold, it's action-packed, and it's exciting. He says, you go into all the world. It's the gospel, this mandate given to the church is to reach every kindred, tribe, and nation. You go into all the world, you teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The first mandate, the first step, simply is the gospel. It is evangelism. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. It's evangelism. You can't baptize them until they get saved. You can't disciple them until they get saved. The very first step is evangelism. And it's the thing that's being set aside. And that's why the church as a whole is not marching forward any longer. Because we've gotten away from evangelism. Too many churches don't have a gospel, don't have an altar call. Too many New Testament Christians aren't soul winners. They don't carry gospel tracts with them. They aren't real as far as their presentation of the gospel. They can go a whole 24 hours, meet all kinds of people, and never talk about Jesus. That's someone who's not a soul winner. And you cannot be right with God unless you're a soul winner. I don't care if you're an introvert. I'm an introvert. It doesn't matter how quiet a spirit you have. You need to be soul winners. God, and I do too. God, the sheep reproduce sheep. The shepherd doesn't reproduce sheep. It's the church's job to go forth with the gospel. That was the first message. The second step, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We are to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is the second step of the Great Commission. It is a mandate. It is part of our mandate. By the way, in the grammatical text, in the Textus Receptus, and the way that the verse is put together, evangelize, baptize, and disciple, it's one command. It's one command. You see, if you're someone that's discipling and you're not a soul winner, you're not being obedient. It's one command. All three things are supposed to be going on in our lives. This thing called baptism. It wasn't new with John the Baptist. A lot of people sometimes think that there were all kinds of ceremonial baptisms in the Old Testament. So it didn't start with him, and it really is all about this. John the Baptist baptized unto repentance. And it's really all about this. He was the forerunner. He was preparing the way for the Lord, for the Messiah, the promised one, who would come after him. That's none other than Jesus Christ. Baptism is identification. It's always been that way. It's making a statement. It's like putting on a uniform. It's identifying with someone. New Testament baptism for the New Testament church, and there are only two ordinances for the New Testament church in the Bible. I don't care what any denomination says. It's the Lord's table and it's baptism. That's it. And they are not sacraments. Jesus did all the sacrificing. When we partake in the Lord's table, we are not eating Jesus Christ. That's not how you receive him. That is heresy. That is false doctrine. It is symbolic. Baptism, the second ordinance, the other ordinance, that also is symbolic. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. The Lord's table doesn't save a soul from hell. Baptism doesn't save a soul from hell. The Lord Jesus Christ, he saves people from hell. His shed blood, that's what saves people from hell. And in the New Testament, they always got saved and then they got baptized, and never in any other order than that. In a lot of denominations, they baptize because they think it's salvation. They think it's a sacrament. They think that's part of grace, part of adding to their salvation. They baptize little babies. That didn't start till about the 4th century, by the way. It was a teaching of man, not a teaching of the Bible, all right? And they thought, well, that'll guarantee them a home in heaven. And then later on, maybe we get them saved. And then you see how that goes into false doctrine. We have a mandate from God. We're to evangelize. We're to baptize, and we are to disciple, to identify with Christ. First step of obedience, baptism. I would tell you this morning, don't be ashamed of Christ. You say, oh, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized. I tell you, I'll put Jesus' words, I'll paraphrase it, don't be ashamed of Christ. Jesus said in Luke in chapter 9 and verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my word, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed of at his coming. Don't blush to name the name of Christ. And don't cop out and be a lily-livered, spineless Christian and talk about the big man upstairs. That's garbage. He's God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Master. He's our Savior. He is Jehovah God. Don't blush to speak his name. And baptism, you identify with Christ. Don't be embarrassed of Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Man, don't be ashamed of him. Water baptism, outward sign of repentance, outward sign of salvation. Beautiful testimony. A symbolic sermon. We have baptized here at Fundamental Baptist Church in the baptistry. And the old baptistry over there, which basically was a water trough, wasn't it? Big metal. Who put that together, Gene? Do you remember? Who built that? Who?
Harvey
did. Welded it together. The deal was, though, you get in it, it probably held, I don't know how many hundred gallons of water. It was big. You get in it and you just go, whoa, 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 all the time. You know, you're talking above that all of the time. And I don't know what the connection was, but the water would never, I don't think I ever baptized anybody in warm water. In that baptism. We used to be baptized in that. We got fancy and baptized in this. We baptized in Duke's Lake. We baptized in Kinross Lake. I baptized in a swimming pool. Even some hardy souls, I baptized in Lake Superior. You young converts, you people that are going to get baptized, don't request Lake Superior. I'm an old man now. I may not live through the experience. But there's nothing sacred about the water. When John the Baptist baptized, it was in the River Jordan. It's a muddy river. That didn't wash away any sin. It was symbolic. There's no holy water there. It was symbolic. You say, okay, tell me about baptism. Number one, baptism is not salvation. It is not a sacrament. I wasn't going to turn there. I'll just quote it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says that we are to believe in Christ and be baptized because we're to be baptized because of our salvation. That's what it says there. That's the actual Greek word. All right? You get baptized, then you get saved, and then you get baptized. Nowhere in the Word of God does it teach baptism saves. It is not baptismal regeneration. Now the salvation part, that's just a heart thing. That's a heart issue. It's real easy. You can do it in a moment of time. And the baptism part is just saying, I'm now saved. I now belong to God. Surely there's not someone here that thinks that water can wash away sin. Doesn't happen. Just like the Lord's table, it is symbolic. Number one, who is? I've got six things here. Number one, who is to be baptized? Well, it's to be the saved. Look at Matthew chapter 3, and verse 7. Matthew chapter 3, this is the baptism of Christ, and verses 7 and 8. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. We're going to come back to this passage. Go to Acts in chapter 8. I'm going to have you turn a little bit this morning in your Bibles. Acts in chapter 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. We could go all over in the book of Acts. We could go all over in the New Testament, all over in the scriptures, and tell you this is the order. Those that are candidates for baptism are those that have gotten born again. You can't put the cart in front of the horse. If you think that getting baptized first is what you need to do and then get saved, you completely misunderstand Scripture. You get saved first, and then you get baptized. You get born again, and then you identify with Christ. You get born into the family of God, and then you put on the robes of righteousness. Then you put on, that happened over here. Then you put on the uniform that identifies with Jesus Christ. You don't get dressed and identify with Christ without ever being born again. Unfortunately, that happens to a lot of people, and they're not saved, and they're not going to heaven. You get saved, then you get baptized. Who is to be baptized? Those that are born again. Again, I would tell you this. There is no infant baptism in the Word of God. I got baptized as a little baby at a Presbyterian church right here in this area. I guess I won't name it. We have radio listeners. They tell me I got baptized. I don't remember it. I was there, they say. It wasn't my decision. They sprinkled water on my head, not a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. You say, why did they ever get around to doing that? Why did man and his religionity and his denominationalism ever start doing that anyway, baptizing babies and sprinkling? Because they started to believe that baptism saves. And so there's my little baby boy. What if he dies? Let's get him baptized. You see, and that's just the teachings of man. That's all that is. So it needs to be your decision. You need to be old enough to know that you're born again and then understand what baptism is, that it doesn't add to grace, and you get baptized. Pastor, I think his name was Blackburn. I'm not sure. He's the one that baptized me. I think that was his name. It was something like that. But then I really got saved later on, and then Pastor Amundsen really baptized me. And you know what? There wasn't a fiery cross in the sky when I got baptized. There was no lightning bolt. I didn't feel any different. Felt wet. Didn't feel any different. But there was the picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I identified with Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. I identified with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was my decision. The preacher told me after I got saved, you know what? You need to get baptized. Well, why do I need to get baptized? I'm going to heaven, aren't I? Yeah, you're going to heaven. But baptism in the book of Acts, you find it always the first step of obedience. You want God to bless you, don't you? Well, yeah, I do. You want to obey God, don't you? Well, yes, I do. Then you need to get baptized. I said, I'm in. If Christ commanded it, I'm in. Here it is, the mandate, Matthew chapter 28. I'm in, so go ahead and baptize me. It didn't add any grace. That didn't happen. It's a command, Matthew 28. It's an example, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Just write that down. It's an example that preaches. It's identification. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. And number 4, it influences others. People get baptized here. Other people in the congregation see them get baptized and say, you know, I need that. I've never identified with Christ. It preaches, just like the Lord's table. It preaches. The broken bread, broken body of Christ. Fruit of the vine, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The buried in water, the immersion. Buried, risen again. Resurrected to walk in newness of life. Death, burial, resurrection to walk in newness of life. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to do my best to live for God. Two ordinances for the church, Lord's table and baptism, both symbolic. Read that in Romans chapter 6, in the likeness of his death. I didn't die when I got baptized, but I identified with the death of Christ. Man, that's big. That's important. And it preaches. When should a believer get baptized? Let's go to Acts in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I realize as I'm preaching this, I'm not preaching a lot that needs to be preached. There's more that needs to happen. More needs to be preached on this, but I can only cover so much. Chapter 2 and verse 41, day of Pentecost. Then they that gladly received his word. They got saved. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Got baptized immediately after salvation. Didn't have to go to a class. Didn't have to have a credit check or take a blood test. They're just a sinner saved by grace. I want in. I want to identify. I want to obey. May fall by the wayside afterwards. That could happen. But man, give the opportunity. Acts chapter 8. Let's go there. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. I already read this once, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You'll find this again and again. The Ethiopian eunuch. Same day. Same day. Same day. Man, I got saved. I got born again. Well, here's water. What doth hinder you to be baptized? You get baptized right away. Now, I understand why churches don't baptize right away. And I know there's a little fear there and baptizing somebody that maybe isn't really saved, but you know, that happens anyway. And if somebody gets baptized that really isn't saved and they really get saved later, then they need to get baptized again. Identify with the gospel, with the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Look at chapter 16 of the book of Acts in verse 33. Acts 16 and verse 33, and they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. This is the Philippian jailer. He and all his straightway. Paul didn't waste any time. They got saved. They got baptized. He said, how should a believer get baptized? Let's go to Romans in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is good doctrine. I know it's not a specific passage of Scripture. We'll get back to that Sunday after next, all right? But this is good doctrine. I want you to have understanding concerning this. Romans in chapter 6 and verses 3 through 5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's the gospel. That's when they got saved. When I got saved, by the way, I was spiritually baptized. I was immersed by the Holy Spirit. That's the teaching that Paul taught again and again. I got born again. I was immersed into the family of God. He not only indwelt me and not only sealed me, he immersed me. I was baptized spiritually by the Holy Spirit, not water baptism, but by the Holy Spirit the day I got saved. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, that's the water baptism now, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a picture. It's symbolic. We are identifying with Jesus Christ. The word baptize means immerse. It means to literally submerge. Baptizo is the actual word. It's to go all the way under the water. And by the way, when you bury somebody, you don't just sprinkle a little dirt on their forehead, do you? The picture's gone when you baptize by way of sprinkling or even pouring. It's not a ceremonial baptism from the Old Testament. It's immersion. Baptized in Christ. It's a picture, a beautiful picture of the gospel. Two more things, real quickly. Why was Jesus baptized? Let's go to Matthew in chapter 3. Matthew in chapter 3. Well, if you say baptism, salvation, Jesus had to get saved. That's not true. That's heresy. No sin dwelleth within him. No sin. He's the spotless Lamb of God. He got baptized because it would please the Father, number one. And number two, it was a message, a sermon, an example for you and for I. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John truly was a humble man. Jesus said he was the meekest man on earth. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He's our great example. He goes before us always. And it says, well, verse 16 says, and Jesus when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He wanted to please the Father. Don't you want to please the Father? The one who sent his Son. Literally, the one who died on Mount Calvary, who shed his blood for you, made a way for you to go to heaven with all of your warts, all of your inconsistencies, all of your stubborn pride. Don't you want to please him? He said, identify with me. He said, what if I refuse? Well, you're still going to heaven. That's the good news. The bad news is, James in chapter 4 and verse 17 says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That brings about hindered prayer, robs your life of blessings. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 14, that my friends do whatsoever I command. And he commanded us to identify with him. So let's go back to the beginning of this message. We have a mandate as a church. Now, I know not a lot of people are going to come forward to get baptized this morning because the majority of you here are already saved and baptized. I understand that. But this is good teaching. We all need to hear it. It's good enough. It's good to get people born again and get them born into the family of God. But don't leave that baby out in the cold. Don't leave them out there to fend for themselves in the big bad world. Then bring them into the church. Bring them into identification with Jesus Christ. Say, now that you're saved, then you need to get baptized. It's the next step in your life. It's the next step of obedience. He said, identify with me, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We have a mandate as a church. We need to not only get people saved, we do a pretty good job of that, although we don't do a good enough job. I'll say, I think we've got 15 or 20 real good soul winners in this church. And then we got a lot of people who are just along for the ride. And they're happy when people get saved, but they're not involved themselves. They're on the bench. They're up in the grandstand, maybe cheering, but they're not doing it themselves. And by the way, if that describes you, you have not escaped your responsibility before God. There are people you will talk to and you will meet in your lifetime, and it'll happen this week, that I will never meet. And it may be that you are the only soul winner that was ever ordained to talk to them. And it's your job. And it's whosoever will may come. We do need to do a better job here. And then as a church, under the authority of the church, we need to baptize. We need to bring people along in their journey for Christ. The third message is discipleship. That's the hard part. This is the middle step. First step is salvation. The next step is baptism, it's identification, and that's just the beginning of discipleship. And from there, it gets into the hard part. We're going to preach on that next Sunday morning. But we have a mandate from God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Your neighbor, my neighbor. Your coworker, your loved one, my loved one. Your friend, my friend. I didn't mention coworker for me because I think these two guys are saved. At least I think they are, right? So we've all got people we rub shoulders with. We all got people that we're supposed to reach out to. Big time stuff. Going to heaven? Yes. Because you're born again. Not baptized? Go to heaven with a frown on your face. And go to heaven miserable. Because you haven't been obedient to Christ. That's not all there is to it. But I am saying baptism, second ordinance to the church. It's important.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.